to say right now. Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And I was thinking about that passage when it comes to our singing. Have you ever considered that when you sing, you are teaching and admonishing one another? Therefore, be careful how you sing. And what I mean by that is this. When you speak to somebody, you should speak so that they can hear you. Can you hear me? Can you still hear me? Okay, I don't necessarily need this microphone because I always try to project. I always try to make my voice be heard. When you teach one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking to one another, do so people can hear you. So here's a little bit of advice, and I've noticed this in churches everywhere I go, not just here. But people sing like this. "I am blocking my voice." Or people sing like this. Lift up your hymn book, put it in front of you, take this other hand, and project over your song book. This is something that's very elementary, but something that I think will help improve our singing as a church. Where I am now projecting, and I'm not distracted by anything else. I'm singing. I'm concentrating. My hands are here holding this book, and I am singing out of what I am doing here. That'll change our song services, folks. And am I preaching to the choir? In other words, should I do this on a Sunday morning? Maybe so, but let's start here. And I think if most of us are doing this, other people will see. And maybe they'll learn something from it. Okay, you can add something extra to the offering next week on that one. But that was kind of free. I want to continue in the book of James. James chapter 1. And this is what I call the Christian's book of etiquette, because I believe James in this book is teaching a belief that behaves. And the first chapter has to do with trials. You see that right away when you get to verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers or various temptations." And so like I've said when we were there in verse 2, your behavior shows in your disposition. Your disposition in your trials. Count it all what? That's very hard to do. But there's a command, and that's why there is a command. So your behavior will not only show in your disposition, it'll also show, verse 3, in your discernment. Because we see the first word in verse 3 is knowing. Discern something. "That the trying of your faith worketh patience." So in your trials, know what is being proved. Your faith is. And know what is being produced. Patience. Or endurance. Today, we're going to look at verse 4. Your behavior will be shown in your development. Verse 4. "But let patience," what was the last word of verse 3? So let that patience, that endurance, have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When I say your development in your trials, I'm talking about your maturity. We tend to give up and not allow a trial to be a growing experience. Have you ever had somebody say this to you when you're going through something or after you've gone through it? It's probably best to wait until after you've gone through something where they say, "So what did you learn in your trial?" If somebody asks you that, it'll probably upset you to start with. Because you still have that attitude of grumbling of what you've just gone through. When I went to college, I had never spoken in front of a group where I had to come up with something to say. I was able to recite verses in front of groups. In fact, I think I told you when I was a teenager, my youth pastor, Steve Sanders, challenged those of us in the youth group to memorize a large portion of Scripture. So I told him I did that. I memorized Romans chapter 12. He said, "Now I want you to get up in front of the church and recite that." "Without my Bible?" "Yeah, you memorized it, didn't you?" And I'll never forget that night. I was so nervous. I was so nervous. This was a church. It was Westside Baptist Church of Hutchinson, Kansas. I believe at the time there were probably 500 or 600 people. And I was so nervous that I tend to speak rapidly anyway, and I just zipped on through it. But I was nervous. So I had a hard time when I went to college speaking in front of a group. So what do you think they make every freshman take? Freshman speech. At first I hated that class. But I got to thinking, you know, if the Lord has called me to preach, I need to learn how to get up in front of a group of people and speak. And so I put my heart into that class. So much so that my next year, I took as an elective another speech class, public speaking. So much so that the following year I took 2 or 3 speech courses, and I kept taking speech courses. I had enough speech classes that I could have minored in it, although my declared minor was Greek. And so speech, I realized, is what I needed. But it's not necessarily what I liked. I stuck it out and I matured somewhat in speech. I'm sure you could be my critic and tell me all the things I do wrong, and that's just fine. But I stuck it out, and I'll guarantee you, if I hadn't taken those courses that really made me sweat, I wouldn't even be able to get up here. Your development. 2 things about your development that I want you to see here in verse 4. Number one, it says, let patience have her perfect work. I'm calling this your output. Output is work. But note the command there in verse 4. Let have. That's the command. Let have. Let what have? Patience. Let that endurance have her or its perfect work. That which is produced in verse 3, that patience needs, you are commanded to let it have perfect work. The word work here is where we get our word energy. What is it that they say about those who work out or those who exercise? They have more energy. By the way, have you ever found that to be true? That when you go work out, somehow you have more energy that day? I do. I sit a lot because I study a lot. I have to go to the gym, right, Neva? Because I see Neva there. I've got to go to the gym, and I'm working out. I'm getting on the stair stepper. I'm walking. I'm lifting weights. I am doing that not because of anything else other than the fact that I need energy, and that gives me energy. Does that make sense? Exercise gives you energy. Otherwise, you become lazy, apathetic, you sit around, you become lackadaisical. What will a Christian have who doesn't avoid trials, who even passes the smaller tests? Not just endurance, but energy. I want you to think about that. Let patience have her perfect work. Endurance is my ability to operate under strain, but not only is that produced, so is output or energy. All of a sudden, I'm not just on the defensive, I'm on the offensive. I can do extra things. I don't spend time fighting with temptation. Now I run ahead of them. This is Christianity. I'm sure you have the same temptation that most people do, to think of Christianity as a don't religion. Don't do this, don't do that, don't. But I know I've mentioned this to you before. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to have a saying. He said, a don't religion is not enough. The way to keep from don'ting is to do so fast you don't have time to don't. Now you have to really think that thing through. But we think, oh, I shouldn't, don't. No, do so fast you don't have time to don't. That is the religion of Christianity, if you want to call it a religion. Thus, endurance, this patience, has not just output, but what's the adjective before the word work there in verse 4? Let patience have her what kind of work? Perfect work. That doesn't mean something that is without any kind of error. It's talking about maturity there, full grown, developed. That's why I'm calling this point your development in trials. Output isn't just wasted energy. Like an immature child who just runs around. I know all of us have said, man, if I just had that kind of energy. Yeah, but think about the energy that that little justice has as he's running around. It's not really going to waste, but to us, what is he accomplishing? Not much. But we should take the energy, what we have, and make it mature, where it does accomplish something. So development is evident in output, and secondly, and lastly, development is evident in outcome. So the first part of the verse has to do with output. Let patience have her perfect work. Now, look at the outcome. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So this outcome now refers to ye, not your faith, but you. In the final outcome, you will be, and there's three words mentioned. First of all, complete. In fact, the King James word used here is the word perfect again. That ye may be perfect. It's the same word as the adjective work in the same verse, but the prefix is tela. Give me some words that has tela, T-E-L-E, as the prefix. Somebody give me one right away.
Telephone.
Somebody else. Telegraph. Telescope. Television. So you've got all kinds of words that we have with that prefix. All of these have the ability to bring what is far near. Okay, a telephone brings somebody way off into the distance, very near. A telescope brings an object that is way off in the distance, that elk, you know, the big bull, brings it near, especially through my rifle scope. Okay? So tele, it brings something that is far and it brings it near. So the goals for this person are not some things that are far off, which cannot be attained. They are brought near. They are achieved and the person is complete, mature, developed. So the outcome is that you may be perfect. You might be complete. Next word, and entire. When a baby is born, one of the first things perhaps mothers do is see that the baby is entire. What does that mean? Five fingers on each hand, five toes on each foot. That baby is entire. That's actually the word here, no defects. So this word means intact, no defects. The goal of trials is to produce Christians, folks, listen, who have no defects. It's related to the word used of the healed lame man in Acts 3:16. He was lame. Peter and John had gone into the temple. He was sticking his little cup out. And that's when Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the man leaps up, and all of a sudden it says in verse 16, this man was whole. Same word. So when you read this word or this verse, that ye may be perfect and whole, you're complete, you're entire, wanting nothing. When I'm a kid reading the King James Bible, I'm going, what does it mean I don't want anything? I'm always wanting something. This means lacking nothing. Can you imagine somebody being so complete that they're lacking nothing? Well, sometimes that lack takes place because of how we deal with trials. We don't let those trials have the outcome that they should. There are Christians who could be so much for the Lord, but they have little defects, idiosyncrasies that render them useless to God. Their answer? Just the way I am. You see what that attitude brings? Not entirety, not wholeness, not completeness. Instead, we let the trials. Isn't it a trial when somebody walks up to you and says, you know, I noticed something that, you know, that is offensive, blah, 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 and they tell you? And if you change it, you become more whole. You are no longer lacking in that area. Realize that defects, folks, are sin. So the outcome, complete or perfect, entire, and then it says full or wanting nothing, lacking nothing. The goal of trials and temptations is to produce a Christian who lacks nothing. It's the same word used in the next verse concerning lacking wisdom. It would be a tragedy if children remained children and never grew up. It's also a tragedy that many Christians never grow up because they run from difficulty and anything that may try them. The behavior that James is commanding here is opposite of our tendency to brood in self-pity, to complain, and it also counters the attitude of just saying, oh well, in stoic resignation. Your trials and your disposition and your discernment and your development, those three words stress that the one who is joyful in trials and temptations, who withstands, will be brought to the place where he can endure. And not only that endurance, but he will also have the energy to develop into full maturity, perfect and entire, lacking nothing. That Christian shows that there is a reason for trials. The perfection of Christian character. And if we believe that, our behavior will be what it ought to be in the midst of the trial. Lord, may we count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the trying or the testing of our faith brings about endurance. May we let that endurance have its perfect output, that work, that we may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Dave, if you would close us in a song, please.